Introducing Elvis Presley.
Built around the fiery personality of Elvis Presley.
Here is an Elvis Presley you've never seen before.
It's Elvis on a love campaign.
It's Elvis, Hawaiian style.
And Elvis takes both sides.
Elvis rocking and socking on the waterfront.
Elvis brings you the vacation of your life.
A different kind of man, Elvis Presley.
It's a new Elvis, one you've never seen before.
Viva Elvis, Viva and Margaret.
Now he crowns his meteoric rise to fame with a fiery burst of dramatic power.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Starring Elvis Presley podcast. I'm Sheena.
And I'm Savannah.
And this week we are talking about Elvis's 19th movie, Harum Scarum.
So the basic plot for this is that he's an American singer enlisted by sinister forces to assassinate a Middle Eastern king whose daughter he's fallen in love with. So we see him first thing in the movie. You know, they're at a premiere for a movie he's in called Sands of the Desert. And he's basically taken to, like, a made-up country is the overall plot.
Yeah, so. I mean, it was real in the movie, but
yeah. Yeah, it was kind of hard to understand, like, are we in the movie? Are we not in the movie? So,
yeah, and I mean, that plot there alone, I mean, yeah, anytime I need someone assassinated, I'm going to call up an actor.
Right. Yeah, a lot of the plot really did not make much sense. You know, I don't understand how an American singer is qualified to.
Yeah, I mean, he karate chopped the jaguar.
He did karate chop the jaguar, so I guess they were like, sold. Yeah. He's got to kill the king.
Exactly, yeah. It's kind of a bad plot. I mean, we'll just say that. It's bad. I mean, I don't get the impression, though, that there were a lot of people who loved the plot. I know Colonel Parker, and I know this is a little bit of trivia, he sort of wanted to prove that it was all supposed to be super silly and super sort of just a big old farce, and he actually had suggested that they get a talking camel as a narrator to prove how silly it is. But I think the movie in and of itself just proves how silly it is.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's not exactly a very deep plot. It's not, you know, very deep acting or, you know, method acting or whatever. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of sort of crazy, silly hijinks.
Right. And like we talked about yesterday, you know, I think the thing that saved it for me is Elvis, of course.
Elvis,
his
yes.
charm was wonderful. It is what made me want to watch it, because honestly, it's what, 90, 95 minutes?
It is. It's a quick watch.
It felt longer. You know what
it
I mean?
It did
feel a little bit long. We were like, okay, how much more can you say about this? You know, but his charm really made me keep watching. I thought he was great.
I think he was great. I will give it the credit of, you know, I do feel like, of course, Elvis's movies have the reputation of, you know, nothing more than kiss a girl, fight a guy, sing a song.
Right.
And he does all three of those in this, and he does them very well. But I think I appreciated that this was a little bit of a different storyline. In so many movies, Elvis is a singing lifeguard or a singing, you know, rodeo star or whatever. In this, he's Elvis. He's
right.
A star. And yeah, he is. He does get involved in this crazy plot, but it's somewhere different. You know, it's not in the American South or whatever. It's a different setting. The costumes are different. It's mm-hmm. very colorful. The sets were really pretty. I feel like there's some good things going for it.
Right.
It's not all just terrible.
And we yeah. And we talked about, you know, the year that it came out in 1965, many things were very similar. So we had The Sound of Music and we had
a lot of musicals.
Right.
Yeah.
So I could see that they were trying to kind of keep with the times
do
something.
Help by the Beatles came out that year as well, too, which is another sort of foreign plot line that's a little silly, but
right.
it's like this in that it's also a musical and it's really fun to watch. And so, you know, you can't beat it up too badly. But at the same time, there are some flaws. I mean, we talked about the plot. It's not exactly, you know, Pulitzer Prize winning writing.
Right.
And yeah, I think to be totally 2017 about it, you just probably wouldn't have a cast of majority white folks playing Middle Eastern roles.
Yeah, it would not fly in 2017.
It still happens.
Right.
I mean, but the movies get called out and you know, the directors and the actors get called out saying, you know, why are you taking this role from someone why couldn't we have gotten a Middle Eastern actor, which I totally understand. So, I mean, there is that going on as well, but I think that's also very 1965. There was
exactly.
so much of that going on.
It was over 50 years ago.
It was.
And I think it's 52. It's so not fair to view movies of the past with the lenses of the present, you know?
Yeah,
you have to go
into it knowing.
I think you can go in saying, okay, you know, I know that this would not be appropriate now. I mean, it wasn't just about the having Caucasian people as Middle Easterners, they also had slave girls.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there was multiple things that you were like, hmm.
Yeah,
but again,
that's not cool.
1965, 50 years ago, and I honestly believe no harm was intended by the actors, by the writers, by anybody.
Right. And at the end of the day, it's supposed to be a musical comedy that's super lighthearted.
Right.
Not taken very seriously. So I do understand that. And right. I do understand the time frame. There are a lot of fun trivia about this movie. if you want to go into some of that, or
yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts or any other points you wanted to make?
Well, one thing I saw on Facebook, you know, the thing that really did stand out, and you know, you and I watched it together yesterday, and we both said that the scene for when he's saying "so close yet so far from paradise"
right.
was great.
It is the number one scene in that movie.
So
it's beautiful.
So much passion, and we both said it feels like a concert ballad.
It really does.
Like, it just felt like he was in a concert with a weird costume on. You know? Like, I thought that was a fantastic scene, and it stood out for me, and he did amazing.
I thought his voice just sounded very grown up and very mature. He just sounded so... I don't. It's sort of like you were hearing almost a little bit of 70s Elvis. That
exactly.
sort of very mature, very operatic sort of
mm-hmm.
voice.
That just, belting and that passion.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
Such a good number. Harum Scarum was released November 24th, 1965. They began filming it March 15th, 1965, and it completed 1 month later. So, you know, sort of a quick little movie, which... That's what these producers actually are known for. The producer, Sam Katzman, was known as the quote-unquote king of the quickies. he made films quickly and cheaply. And so, yeah, this was pretty well made, you know, quickly and cheaply.
Right.
Filmed in Culver City, California, so not in this fake country, wherever.
Right.
And Elvis really enjoyed the costumes. He thought they were really cool. He enjoyed the, you know, the pretty sets and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's not like it was, you know, a total loss or anything like that. And actually, Elvis had worked with this director before, Gene Nelson. He directed this, and he also directed Kissin' Cousins, which is another sort of silly kind of movie that's...
Right, which the screenwriter for this, I believe, Gerald Drayson Adams, wrote Kissin' Cousins, too.
Right.
So they worked together again.
Exactly, yeah. Kind of cool there. So, yeah, and then, of course, we have the lovely Marianne Mobley is his leading lady in this movie, Princess Shalimar.
Shalimar.
Am I saying that right? Mm-hmm. and she is not from the Middle East, no. She is from Biloxi, which is...
Yeah.
Biloxi, Mississippi is about as far away from the Middle East you can get. But it's a lovely place. I'm not knocking Biloxi. I've been there many times. My best friend lives there. The thing I thought was really funny, though, was, you know, in the movie, they know nothing of Western culture. They know nothing about America. He mentions the word America to her, and she's like, what? Like,
right.
You know, they're in a country that is so far removed from the rest of the world. And Miss Marianne Mobley was actually a Miss America.
Right.
She won the Miss Mississippi pageant, and she went on to win the title of Miss America in 1959. So that's really cool. Someone who was in this movie, who was actually born in Syria, was Michael Ansara. He played Prince Dragna. I love these names. He was born in Syria. His family moved to the United States when he was 2. He eventually settled in California. He was originally going to be a doctor, but he liked drama and theater, so that's what he studied. You have seen him in movies like The Robe and The Ten Commandments, The Greatest Story Ever Told, and The Sad Sack. He also starred in the TV series Broken Arrow. That was what made him famous. He was actually also married to Barbara Eden for just a little bit. And she, of course, starred with Elvis in Flaming Star. So, you know, there's all sorts of cool ways that all these people have worked together. And yeah, and so Harum Scarum may not, as we said, be a lot of people's favorite. But there are some good things about it. The exceptional sets and set decoration was designed by the award-nominated team of George W. Davis, McClure Capps, Henry Grace, and Don Greenwood Jr. George W. Davis was nominated 17 times for Academy Awards, winning 2. Henry Grace was nominated 13 times, winning 1, and Don Greenwood was nominated once. They have worked together on such films as How the West Was Won, The Blackboard Jungle, All About Eve, one of my favorites, Gigi, the robe, so many. I mean, we could go on for forever. Speaking of those sets and costumes, the temple set was originally built for the movie King of Kings for $3,800. MGM paid more than $40,000 to remodel the set for Elvis's movie. The costumes worn by the extras were originally used in the 1944 movie Kismet and later retailored for the 1955 remake. So you've seen all of this probably before. And there were several different movie titles before they, you know, decided to call it Harum Scarum. It was also, they almost called it In My Harum and Harum Holiday, which of course is the very first song we hear, so...
Yeah, I like Harum Scarum, and we both looked up yesterday because we were like, what does Harum Scarum mean, you know? And it just means, we looked it up and it means reckless.
Yeah, and I was thinking it was just a cute little
play on
rhymey.
Words.
Yeah, Harum and then Scarum, but yeah. Another little fun fact here as we're wrapping up about the movie. It was during the filming of Harum Scarum that Elvis began in earnest to pursue his spiritual studies. And when the film wrapped, Elvis presented the cast and crew with watches that he had one of his favorite jewelry designers create. The watch featured both a cross and the Star of David, which symbolized for Elvis universal brotherhood.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I think overall it really wasn't an issue of actors. It really wasn't an issue of costumes or set. It was just, the plot was okay.
It was okay. It was just okay. So silly. And it does sort of have that feel of, well, it was done kind of quickly with not a lot of thought behind it. But it wasn't because the actors weren't, you know, they're doing their best. It wasn't because the sets or the costumes weren't there. That was all, you know, done really, really well. So it just, you know, wasn't maybe the funnest movie in terms of, I'm sure there were a lot of people who were frustrated, you know, by the plot or whatever, but it wasn't a total loss.
No, it wasn't. And Elvis is what is the common factor of what makes all these movies great. And I think it's also important to remember he was in a contract and, you know, he had a duty to do these films and do them to the best of his ability. And I think that's what he did.
And we have a little bit of feedback from fans on social media. We honestly don't have a lot because a lot of fans were like, this wasn't my favorite Elvis movie, which is cool. I'm not saying you have to love every single Elvis movie. But Mariana on Facebook, like us, she loved So Close Yet So Far. I mean, that's such a good song. I mean, you have to love it, right? I think Susan on Facebook said it best. She said this was an awesome teeny bopper movie.
Yeah.
It's very much a really fun sort of movie for, I don't want to say kids, but I mean, you know, for really young Elvis fans who want something fun and silly, and it's just a fun movie to watch in that way. Gail on Facebook said her favorite song was Harum Holiday, which, as we said, first song, very fun. And Obi on Twitter, I hope I'm saying your name right, his favorite moment was where Elvis wakes up to all the harem girls after being drugged, and he sings Mirage. He said that was classic Elvis. And that was a really cute little moment.
He didn't even really ask questions. He just kind of was like, oh, okay. Well, concubines. I'll kiss
Yes,
you.
I know. Yeah, because we counted it. He kissed four girls in 20 minutes.
Four girls in 20 minutes. Yeah. I mean, there are worse ways for a man to wake up to a bunch
exactly.
of women.
Yeah. So this is Harum Scarum. It's not maybe the most, you know, classic of Elvis movies. It's not maybe the most well-made, whatever. But you know what? Elvis, as always, does a great job.
Right.
And, you know, it is what it is. And we can find the good stuff in
it. We got some good songs out of it. We got great costumes. Elvis, of course, still pulls it off, you know, that he looks amazing in anything, any culture. So I think overall, you know, it was fine. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, what an embarrassment. None of that. It was just, the plot was okay. You know, I think he could have done more if he had more to work with.
Oh, totally.
You know?
Totally.
But he served it justice, and I think he did great.
I think he did. And, I mean, it's like a lot of, I think a lot of fans have always said this. A lot of Elvis's co-stars have said this. Had Elvis been really given better scripts, he could have done so much better.
He could have.
And could have made better movies. And I think that's true. I think his talent was there, obviously. And so, you know, if you want to watch, you know, a truly great Elvis movie, go back and check out a King Creole, a Jailhouse Rock, a Viva Las Vegas. You know, and not every movie that every actor makes is going to be amazing.
Even today.
Yes. Sure. I mean, I can think of a lot of letdowns.
Exactly.
From a lot of actors.
Exactly. And they shove so many movies in so little time into his contract.
Yeah, he worked so much. When you really go back and look at his schedule, it's amazing.
Well, we both say even now, actors, even today, they are not coming out with as many films as Elvis did.
Right.
Just like many artists are not performing concerts as much as Elvis did.
Right.
He took things to the extreme. Well, really, I think people around him took things to extreme, and he just did them, you know?
Right.
He was a true superstar, both on the screen and in concert. So,
definitely.
And I think this showed it, that he can take a script that is not so great and still be
still
the most charming guy that you've ever seen on screen.
Exactly. And if you love Elvis's movies, you don't maybe have to love this one. That's okay. We understand. But if you love Elvis's movies in general, you will want to come here to Graceland, because not only can you tour the King's Castle, which is amazing in and of itself, but then you can go across the street to our new complex, Elvis Presley's Memphis, and that's where we have Elvis, the Entertainer Career Museum. It's full of everything from his career, not just music, but movies as well. So you can see costumes and props and scripts and that sort of stuff. And of course, Elvis's awards and jumpsuits and all that too. So if you want to learn more, you have to come here.
Yeah. If y'all have not been to the new complex, Elvis Presley's Memphis, you're missing out.
It's a sight to
see. I'm a lifelong Elvis fan, and I can tell you this is what he deserved.
Exactly.
It is an amazing complex, and y'all, as fans, you're going to love it. You get to see more, you get to do more, you get to be here longer, and who could ask for anything more?
Exactly, And our next movie is Frankie and Johnny.
Yeah,
Elvis's 20th movie.
Yeah.
Can you believe 20th?
He was probably exhausted and over it.
Maybe not,
but
not.
But still
we'll
good
see.
Movies to come. Still good movies to
definitely.
Come. And then we'll get to see some of the awesome concerts we all know and love.
Yeah, definitely. So stay tuned and be sure to watch Frankie and Johnny and tell us what you think about it.
And we'll chat with you guys in about a week or so.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, guys.